This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bible to the great book of Judges, chapter 7, verse 9, where we left off last time. Excuse me. Judges, chapter 7, verse 9. This is Sherry Medlock, and I want to invite everyone under the sound of my voice to come to my school, Sherry Medlock School, Cocoa, Florida, every Thursday from between 12 noon until 2 p.m., a two-hour time. My twin friend Scott Merson and I are here, and we will pray for the sick, pray for your deliverance, and pray for anything that bothers you. We open the door at 12 and close at noon each Thursday. This is not singing, not teaching, just strictly for you to come and for us to minister to you in prayer. You're also invited to come each Sunday, 5 p.m., and then anointed prayer, and Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. for ferocious warrior prayer and the Word of God. Now, last time we left off with God having selected his fifth judge to set things in order, Gideon, whose name means cutter down them. Now, the children of Israel were in the promised land, but they had been invaded by 135,000 Midianites. The Midianites had actually already gotten in there. And God had told Gideon to call forth an army out of the Israelites, and at first Gideon was able to get 32,000, and God said, Gideon, tell them if anyone's a coward to tuck their tail between their legs and go home. 22,000 left. You don't want anybody like that with you in a foxhole. Well, he had 10,000 left, so God said, that's still too many. See, the 10,000 at least were willing to fight, but Jesus says many are called, but few are chosen. After one of God's severe vetting tests, Gideon had 300 men left. Gideon and 300 men. However, 300 in biblical numerics means strength by the Spirit of Almighty God. And so the night fell, and the Midianites and their allies were sprawled all over the land, 135,000. And here's Gideon and his 300 men, and it's nighttime.
Judges chapter 7, verse 9. Came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it unto thine hand.
Gideon, I want you to get up now. I want you to go down to the foot of the hill, right next to where the enemy are sprawled out there. Right, go to the border of the enemy's camp. Now, Gideon is a type of the very elect here at the end, and so are the 300. We are few and far between. And the enemy there is the church of Jesus Christ that is deceived on planet Earth and is fast asleep, because all the enemy is asleep down there. It's night. And so he tells us, the Gideons and Gideonettes, we're to go into the church to cut down the altars of Baal and cut down the groves and expose the sins of Christians so the Church of Jesus Christ can be reformed. So Gideon, go to the edge of the enemy's camp.
10. But if thou fear to go down with Purah thy servant.
Now, Purah in the Hebrew means branch. In the Old Testament, God the Father was the vine and Jesus was the branch, unlike it is in the New Testament. So what he's saying, elect, if you're afraid to walk into the enemy's territory, into the mainstream church where lies are being taught and where Christians are sitting there bound by devils and demons and worshiping themselves, if you're afraid, take the branch with you. Jesus is the branch.
Down to the host. 11. And thou shalt hear what they say.
Now, you're going to listen to what they say, what God's going to do. He's very kind to Gideon. Remember last time Gideon asked for two signs, the fleece test? He's not asking for a sign this time. God's going to give him a sign. God just comes forth to encourage him, and he will encourage you as you walk into the enemy's camp.
Afterward, thine hand shall be strengthened to go down to the host.
What you hear, Gideon, is going to give you total belief and faith that I'm going to deliver you.
Then went he down with Purah, his servant.
So here comes Gideon and Purah, the servant, and they get down all the way down to the mountain, creeping down. It's night, and they get down, and there are 135,000 Midianites half asleep.
Unto the outside of the army of men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay around in the valley like grasshoppers.
Like locusts swarming there. Soon and very soon the sixth trumpet shall sound, and Satan's coming with his locust army, the fallen angels. And they're going to swarm all over the Christian church and try to convince you that their daddy is the Savior. Wait for Jesus.
In the multitude. And their camels were without number, as the sand by the seaside for multitude.
Well, if every man had a camel, that's 135,000 camels. What do they use camels for? Provision. The soldiers have to have food and water. But I can tell you something, that God knows how to provide for his elect. God's got camels coming for God's elect so that we can conquer the enemy and so that we can get this word out and blow the trumpet of Zion to the whole wide world. The camels are coming with all the provision we need.
13. And when Gideon was come, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow.
Okay, Gideon gets there, and one of the men in the enemy camp is telling a dream to one of the other friends there. One thing about the Midianites and the Amalekites and the Ishmaelites, they knew that God talks to some people through dreams. So Gideon gets there, and he's hearing the enemy say, listen to this dream.
Behold, I dream a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and it came unto a tent and smote it, that it fell and overturned the tent. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon.
Okay, barley was a bread for very poor people. Remember in the earlier chapters that Gideon said, I am of the poorest tribe, Manasseh, in all of the 12 tribes, and I'm the least there. So the barley cake represents the poorest man, but the cake is the bread of life, the sword, which is the word of God. Where it says it toppled a tent, the manuscripts read the tent, implying that it is the tent of the top general of the Midianites army. In other words, it's going to go for the head and conquer of the head. Hallelujah. Yeah. And so the other man, the enemy, Gideon hears this and he says, oh my Lord, they're saying my name. It's the sword of Gideon. Well, Gideon knows the sword is the sword of the Lord, is the word of God. That's all he needed.
Well, into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host.
Don't you love it when the enemy prophesies that we're going to get the victory?
Yeah.
Happens on the news a lot, have you noticed?
Uh-huh. 15. And if so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped the Lord.
Gideon did not wait to get back up the hill. He stopped right there, right to the edge of the enemy, and worshipped God. As soon as you are aware that God has answered your prayer, don't wait. Stop right there. Right that moment, acknowledge it.
And returned him to the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into our hand the host of Midian.
Okay, 300 men, we got it. Let's go.
16. And he divided the 300 men into three companies, And he put a trumpet in every man's hand.
All right. Three companies. We got 100 here with Gideon holding a trumpet. Now we got another 100 over here. And we got another 100 over here. All right. If everybody's going to blow a trumpet, that's going to be 300 trumpets blowing at the same time. If you're half asleep, that'll scare you to death.
With empty pitchers.
Empty pitchers. That's very important. The word pitcher there in the Hebrew is pail. It is a pail made of clay. Paul says, you have this treasure in earthen vessels. You have a soul. You are a spirit. The spirit is the intellect of your soul. Your soul is your will, emotion, that unique personality. And you had a spiritual body, and you have one now, but it's hidden. But you live in a clay pot pail. The body is your clay pot. And he says, empty it. We'll come back to that.
The lamp in every pitcher.
And put a lamp in there. If the pails had something in them, the torch, lamp means torch, could not be placed in there. And so therefore, all you Gideons and Gideonettes, you elect, the first thing you do, you have a treasure in earthen vessels. Empty yourself of yourself. Forget yourself, me, myself, and I. Poor little me, I wanna. Die to yourself, empty out, and let the light come in, and that is Jesus. Hallelujah. And then God will show you how to blow the trumpet.
17, and he said unto them, look on me.
Look at me, everybody.
And do likewise.
A leader will always tell you to do only what he will do. If the leader's any good, they'll never tell you to do anything they don't do. So I just say to everybody, look on me.
And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, so shall it be, that as I do so, you do the same thing.
What you see me do, you do.
When I blow with the trumpet, I and all you with me, then blow you the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon.
Now, you're going to blow the trumpet. So elect, as we are in our clusters in the United States of America, and we're small and few between, 100 is the government. In other words, some of you are there, some of us are here. We want to connect, but we're going to blow the trumpet. That means we're going to declare the word of God, and we're going to say the word of God. We're going to find that Gideon's going to say the word of God, word of the Lord and cities and Gideon. In other words, this is our mandate. We don't need prophecies on the internet. We don't need books about the book. Those things are good. I read all that. But right now, elect, what the church needs is the word of God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, Joel 2 says. And we say the word of God to the sleeping church.
19. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch.
The middle watch is 12 midnight. Now listen how smart God is. There's just some watchmen of the midnights. They just waken. They've been watching, but they've been half asleep. And they're going off duty, and they're so sleepy because it's 12 o'clock midnight. The new ones coming on at the middle watch midnight, they've been asleep, so everybody's asleep. And as the mariner said to Jonah, awake, O sleeper. Right now the body of Christ in the United States of America is asleep. Duh. People don't even know what's going on. Here we are in the fifth trumpet. I mean, I'm blowing a trumpet right now. Wake up. Hear the word of the Lord in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
And so we have it.
And had the men that set the watch to blow the trumpets and break the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and break the pitchers, and held the lamps in their left hand and the trumpets in their right hand.
Now, you have this treasure in earthen vessels. You cannot be used by God until you are broken. Many of you think that means if you've had some sorrow in your life. Everybody has somebody to die in our family, or somebody, our husbands, our children, our mothers, our dads. That's not what we're talking about. You must be a broken vessel because you have given your life to Jesus. You must lose it all. You must be broken so that you're totally, totally, totally living by faith and surrendering to God. Now, when they blow the trumpets and they smash those vessels, sound produces movement. And so what's going to happen here? Lights, camera, action. The men, the Midianites are asleep down there, and they see all these lights. Here's 100, here's 100, here's 100. They're half asleep. They're dull. Oh, Lord, have mercy. They're waking up. Ooh, we better do something. What do we do? It looks like there are 100,000s of people. Is God smart? He takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. The Midianites probably thought all 12 tribes were there, because if you, can you imagine, you'd wake up, you hear a trumpet sound, you see lights at the foot of your bed, and you know, and there's a torch, and you hear something crash. Okay, what's going to happen here?
Blow with all, and they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon.
Gideon fixed it right, the sword of the Lord. So elect, we are to get up on our platform here. And we are to be broken vessels, and we are to be emptied of everything. All of our clay pots to be filled with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we are to cry, the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God, to all of the sleeping body of Christ.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And they stood every man in his place round about the camp.
Everybody's got your place. Elect, connect, take your place. I'm sending out the call. Call me. Connect with me.
And all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets. And the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow.
Well, you see, with those blinding lights, they don't know if they've got Israelites in there or their own. They can't see, so it's confusion. So they start beating up each other. Back in Psalm 64 on Wednesday night, David said that the wicked plot against the righteous, but that which they plot turns back and destroys them. God knows how to cause confusion in the camp. But see, remember that sound produces movement. That's what blowing the trumpet means. And that movement, there has to be a movement. We're in the great movement of the body of Christ. The Spirit is moving and pulling down the altars and cleaning up the Christians and waking you up. Every one of you that can be shaken, you'll be shaken. Now, if you're real, even though you're shaken, you've got to remain. And so you've got to move. And you got to move in your right place. Everybody take your place. Fitly join together. One accord. No discord. Jesus is Lord. Encouraging one another daily.
Amen. Even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Bethchita and Zariah, and to the border of Abel Maturah and to Tabu.
Okay, so they're running for their lives. These 135,000 Midianites, Amalekites, and Ishmaelites.
And the men of Israel gathered themselves together.
Now, these men will not be the 300. This will be those 10,000 that Gideon sent home who were willing to fight, but they are not the elect. See, there's a place for everybody. You cannot change the fact of the elect. That was decided before the foundation of the earth, because whoever fought for God then is sent out now as the elect. Ephesians 1:4, chosen with Satan. But these were willing, and so now is the time. So now we have the elect blowing the trumpet and lighting the torch and causing people to move, and then we have the rest of the body of Christ, the 10,000 who want to serve, and you don't know what to do, but now you come in and you help us kill the enemy. And I don't mean literally kill people, you understand what I'm saying, that you come in, and it's time for you to learn how to fight demons. It's time for you to learn how to fight powers of principalities. It's time for you to know when a demon is taking you down and fight them.
Yep. Amen.
out of Naphtali, and out of Asher, and of all of Manasseh.
Even old Asher got in on the job. Remember the dainties there? Okay.
And pursued after the Midianites.
So see, there's a place for everybody. But see, some people are so jealous because the elect and this out of order. You must know the order of the church. It's very important that you don't get out of order or try to usurp another person's place. Everybody's got a place.
And Gideon sent messengers throughout all Mount Ephraim.
Now, Mount Ephraim, Ephraim was the larger tribes, but Ephraim was not included in the 300. But the Ephraimites were called ferocious warriors. Now, why were they not called to blow the trumpets and light the torches? Because, as Psalm 65 says, there's a time for us to be ferocious warriors when we got to fight the demons face on and get the demons out of the people all around us. And then there's a time when we move into a new season and we simply let God put us in our place and God fights the battle. You know who really fought that battle? They just blew a trumpet and crashed a clay pot and held up a torch and God scattered them all. So Ephraim would have messed it up because they thought they always had to be ferocious warriors. I am a ferocious warrior, but sometimes I just sit back and let God do it. And the Holy Spirit would tell you when.
Come down against the Midianites and take before them the waters unto Bethbara and Jordan.
So Gideon says, Ephraim, you didn't get to be the 300, but I want you ferocious warriors. Now we need you. Now's the time for your gift, for your talent. You go catch them. They're trying to get over Jordan back into the outside of the camp. Go and catch them, Ephraim.
And all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together.
Ferocious warriors, they love to fight.
And took them waters unto Bethbara and Jordan. And they took two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb. And they slew Oreb upon the rock Oreb. And Zeb they slew in the winepress of Zeb.
Okay, they did good. Just as the 135,000 were running outside, trying to get out of Israel onto the east side of Jordan, the men of Ephraim, they got two of their top ones. Let's say they got the vice president and the secretary of state, but they don't have the president yet. They don't have the king. But they did good. In other words, they helped. It was their time. See, while the elect do the blowing the trumpet and breaking the veil, the torch, there are others who are supposed to come and help and shore up.
Amen. And pursued Midian and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side of Jordan.
Okay, so they captured two of the main enemy's princes here, so they did really good. By the way, if you need a good name for your twins, Oreb and Zeb. You'll probably call him Oreo.
Judges chapter 8, verse 1. And the men of Ephraim said unto him.
Now you'd think Ephraim would be real proud. They just captured two of the main ones. They're going to complain. They weren't the elect. They're jealous.
Why hast thou served us thus? Thou callest us not.
You didn't call us to be the 300. We're ferocious warriors. We come to church all the time. We should be the first.
Which is to fight with the Midianites. And they did chide with him sharply.
They were mad and offended.
Verse 2. And he said unto them, what have I done now in comparison of you?
Oh, what have I done, says Gideon. I just blew a trumpet and cracked a vessel and held up a torch. But look what you did. You got two of the main top dogs there. I mean, goodness. Now, Gideon is not flattering. He's actually encouraging them. He realizes that they need some praise. They're feeling badly because they didn't get to be in the 300. He's not flattering them, but he realizes that they need to feel important. This is very important. The Bible says that we are to be fitly joined together, encouraging one another daily. Be an encourager. Everybody needs encouragement. When you see anybody working their fingers to the bone for God's sake, go out of your way and say, good job. You'll be surprised how much it'll make them feel better and help them. Gideon's going to help the men of Ephraim. They were feeling left out.
Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage?
Gideon is very poetic. All Hebrew people are. Odes and things like that, poems like Shakespeare. And he uses a figure of speech and Hebraism. When they would glean, harvest the grapes, they would go and get them. And then they would go a second time and glean the grapes. They wanted to see if they'd left anything in there. And sometimes they would find they had left a beautiful extra one in there. And he says, oh my goodness, all I did was harvest. In other words, they ran. But look what you did. You gleaned and you got two of the top dogs, Oreb and Zeb.
Of Abiezer?
That would be Manasseh.
Three. God hath delivered into your hands the princes of Midian. What was I able to do in comparison?
See, Gideon is humble enough. Gideon really did the greater work to blow the trumpet and break the vessels in the church until they surrender and become empty, yielded vessels filled with the light of God is the greater work. But he didn't have to be the head. It didn't matter. You don't have to praise me. You don't have to know what I'm doing. I tell all of you, you be the best you can with what you have where you are for Jesus' sake every day of your life. It doesn't matter if anyone ever acknowledges what you do. God knows what you're doing. You don't have to have the praise. When we have God's approval, we don't have to have man's approval.
No. Then their anger was abated toward him.
So they said, okay, thank you. He likes us. He said we did good.
Verse 4, and Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him.
Now remember, the Jordan separated the east side of Jordan from the west side. The paradise, the promised land, I call it paradise, was in the west side. So he's crossing over Jordan because while the Ephraimites got a lot of them, there were 15,000 Midianites that escaped, went over Jordan, over that river, and they're on that side. Gideon wants to get the enemy. You must get all of the enemy because they'll come back later and bite you. So he's following with his 300 men. He's going outside of the land of Israel on the east side of Jordan to capture those 15,000. He and 300 men.
Faint yet pursuing them.
They were hungry. They'd been working and thirsty.
Five, and he said unto the men of Succoth.
Now Succoth means booth. And what those men of Succoth, this would be of the tribe of Gad. Remember there are 12 tribes? I told you earlier there were three of the tribes when they went into the promised land that did not make their home inside the promised land. They made their home right there on the east side, outside of Jordan. One was Manasseh, half tribe of Manasseh. One was the tribe of Reuben. And one was the tribe of Gad, called here Succoth, Booth. So these are Israelites. But if you notice, they had stayed home. They did not go into the fray. They did not go into the church. They did not go into the fight. They stood back and watched the show. Watch the show. Watch the show. Watch the show.
Give, I pray thee, loaves of bread to the men that follow me, for they be faint.
These are your brothers. They are hungry. Could you give them some bread, please? Gideon says. At least you could do. You didn't help us. Give them some bread.
Suing after Zeba and Zalmunna.
Well, he shouldn't have said Zeba there. That's a mistake. Zalmunna would be the king of the Midianites. See, the Ephraimites got the Secretary of State and the Vice President. But Gideon is going to get Zalmunna, king. He's going for the head. Always go for the head.
King of Midian. Six. And the princess of Succoth said, Are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in thine hands?
How do we know you're gonna win? Boy, talk about faith.
That we should give bread to thine army?
That's worse than Job's comforters.
7. And Gideon said, therefore, when the Lord hath delivered Zeba and Zalmunna into mine hand.
Gideon did not say, if I get the victory, you men of Succoth. He said, when I get the victory. Now that's faith talking. I can tell you, every Christian, on the sound of my voice, if you'll get out of your carnality and stop living in sin and repent and give up that thing that's driving you nuts and driving you and keeping you from being all you need to be, if it's pornography, stop it. If it's carnality, stop it. If it's the wrong people, stop it. Whatever it is, stop it. But you might need to start something. If you would do the ifs, every promise in God's word, God will keep that. You can trust that. God's word is truth.
Amen. Then will I tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and briars.
I'm going to go and get the victory, you men of Succoth, but I'm coming back by here, and I'm going to give you a thrashing. I'm going to give you a shellacking. Now, Gideon is a judge, and a judge sets things in order, and a judge brings down punishment. The Bible says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. The thorns represent Satan, who is the bramble tree of the upcoming Judges 9. And the briars are the pricking briars, the Kenites, descendants of Cain, the children of the devil. Paul says, and he said to one of the churches Paul had founded, had gone to all kind of incest and lasciviousness and raw sin. Paul wrote and he said, turn them over to the devil. I've already done enough. I have nurtured, I have taught, I have begged, I have pleaded, I have fasted, I've explained and explained and explained, and they're still going the wrong way. Turn them over to the devil. There is a point that you have to learn to do this in the body of Christ. And Paul says maybe when the devil gets through thrashing them and pricking them, that they will come back to God. So the judge Gideon not only is a great man of compassion and gets the victory done, but to those people in the body of Christ who refuse to do their part, self-centered, taking up space, he says, I'm just through with this. In other words, I've taught you. You're just on your own now. I'm not going to intercede for you anymore. You know what you should do. You refuse to do it. You rebel. So I'm going to let the devil take over in your life. Tough love. Hallelujah. And with that happy note, with that happy note, were you blessed?
Yes.
Hallelujah. What a great thing.
Awesome.
So, when it's time now, we'll begin right there next time. It's time now for a mystery moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. And I want to welcome the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, the man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing great, Miss Sherry, especially after that. That's so timely, isn't it?
Isn't it?
I mean,
though?
It's just a picture of today, too.
Right where we are.
Words alive.
No, I know. You're Gideon.
Yeah, amen.
I'm Gideon.
That's it. Okay, our first question. David said, my praise waiteth for thee. What did he mean by that?
Well, actually, that's beautiful. That's Psalm 65. It's an Hebraism, a figure of speech, which means silent resignation to God without interfering in God's action. See, that's that stage where, okay, Gideon says, I'm going to let God take care of the men of Succoth. There's a point that we fight and we try and we pray and we teach and we nudge and we nudge and we nudge and nothing happens. Then we turn it over and let him do that. So that's really what the story tonight,
yeah,
that it helps them.
That's great. And sometimes it's not our fight. It's his fight.
No,
to
his
fight.
Fight.
We have to move ourselves out of the way.
That's right. Yeah. And we have to let the Holy Spirit will show you.
Yeah, he definitely does. Okay, our next question. What are the four beasts that surround the throne in Revelation 4.
In Revelation 4, those four beasts, it says beast in English. In the manuscripts, Greek, it says four living creatures. They are Zoe in the Greek, or Zoon in the Hebrew, and they are cherub. And the names of the manuscript are Keep, Guard, Grab, and Grasp. And they guard the mercy seat, excuse me, in heaven right now. Remember that in the world that then was, 2 Peter 3:6, there was a beautiful cherub, Isaiah 14, who guarded the mercy seat, Lucifer. He had free choice and he went bad, and that's why we're all having all this trouble now. But these four do not have free choice. They guard the mercy seat day and night. Yeah. But God's not going to trust it anybody else to has free will.
Amen.
Well, you know, David left his stuff in the cart, and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. Let's hear Scott's stuff.
The Father wants to reveal his heart in greater measure before the end. He wants humble and contrite hearts, spirits willing to go beyond their legalistic religious constraints. A new season, a new alignment, a reordering. He is saying, you have built structures and walls in yourselves and your churches, which no longer allow me to move as I am freely among you. I am your structure. You have no structure other than me.
That is so great, so fitting with the lesson. Boy, we go down there and tear down those groves and those altars there. Thank you,
Amen.
Scott Mercer. That is absolutely beautiful, perfect. Everything is so aligned. God is so in order. We love that. God sets things in order. Excuse me. If you're not saved, I want you to be saved. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Please pray this prayer with me and mean it. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Use me.
Use me.
To increase Jesus Christ's kingdom.
To increase Jesus Christ's kingdom.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen, amen.
Amen, amen.
Now, in a few minutes, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number. And if you'd like to call me, I invite you to, and leave a message and let me know you were saved, and I will pray for you. Now, let me pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, I ask, please, that the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in your wings. And from the north, the south, and the east, and the west, let the resurrection life of Jesus, O radiating beams of healing virtue, flow into people's bodies from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, rejuvenating, restoring, repairing, making the blood pure, diabetes be gone, repairing nerves, damages in the feet and the toes, healing the spine, backbone, vertebrae be healed, bones grow back, missing parts grow back, legs walk, hallelujah, hearts be healed, lungs breathe, pancreatic cancer be gone, livers be healed, gallbladder, spleen, in Jesus' mighty name. All memories come back in Jesus' name. Dementia, you have no place there. The memory of the just is blessed, Proverbs 10, in Jesus' mighty name. He sent his word and healed you. Take up your bed and walk. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. Now, God bless you. And if you're one of those blessed ones who was healed then, feel free to call and tell me that also. Now, my love line of the week, from my heart to your heart. So, you don't have enough money to pay your bills, and the doctor says he can't cure you of your ills, and you work so hard from sun to moon, and then your dish ran away with your spoon. Oh, well, everybody lift up your voice and say, hallelujah anyway. Hallelujah anyway. Hallelujah anyway. Praise him in the good times. Hey, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God bless you. And don't forget the Thursday from 12 to 2 p.m. healing prayer by Scott and me, and Sundays 5 p.m., Wednesday 6:30 p.m. word and prayer. Thank you very much for listening. I do pray you're blessed, and I love you and appreciate you. Remember this about Yeshua Jesus. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. This is Sherry Medlock saying I love you and God bless you. And until next time, let me encourage you to stay in the truth with love.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
I long for your embrace every single day, to meet you in this place and see you face to face. Will you show me? To me, because of your mercy, I fall down on my knees, and I can feel your presence here with me. We'll be right back. waiting for me to cross through. My heart is aching, I can tell. So Lord, I'm begging for one last favor from you. Here's my heart, take it where you will. This life has shown me how we're mended and how we're torn, how it's okay to be lonely as long as you're free. Sometimes my ground was stony, sometimes covered up with thorns, but only you can make it what it had to be. And now that it's done, well, if they dress me like a pauper, or if they dine me like a prince, if they lay me with my fathers, or if my ashes scatter on the wind, I don't care. But when I leave, I'm gonna go out like Elijah, and it won't break my heart to say goodbye. But these people been friendly, but they never be a friend. Sometimes this has bent me to the ground. All ending, I wanna hear some music once again, 'cause it's the finest thing I have ever found. But the Jordan is waiting, though I ain't never seen the other side. They say you can't take in the things you have here. So on the road to salvation, I stick out my thumb and it gives me a ride. And this music is already falling on my ears. But these people been talking, they say they're worried about my soul. Well, I'm here to tell you I'll keep rocking till I'm sure it's my time to roll. And when I do, when I leave, I'm gonna go out like Elijah.
tell me, Lord, what I ever do. It was worth love from you, or the kindness you've shown. Lord, help me, Jesus, I've wasted it, so help me, Jesus, you know what I am. Now that I know that I'm needing you, so help me, Jesus, my soul's in your hand. Try me, Lord, if you think there's a way I could ever repay what I've taken from you. Maybe, Lord, I'd show someone else what I've learned myself on my way back to you. Lord, help me. I've wasted it, so help me, Jesus, you know what I am. And now that I know I'm needing you, so help me, Jesus, my soul's in your hands. Help me, Jesus, my soul's in your hands.
He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Hear the sound? On WMIE 91.5 FM.
When the mountains look so big.
Creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing. Sun, moon, and stars rejoice on high. Praise to the Lord of light divine.
Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. But sometimes my life just don't make sense at all. When the mountains look so big, and my faith just seems so small. So hold me, Jesus, 'cause I'm shaking like a leaf. You have been King of my glory. Won't you be my Prince of Peace? And I wake up in the night and feel the dark. It's so hard inside my soul. I swear there must be blisters on my heart. So hold me, Jesus, 'cause I'm shaking like a leaf. You have been King of my glory. Won't you be my Prince of Peace? Surrender don't come natural to me. I'd rather fight you for something I don't really want. Take what you give that I need. And I've beat my head against so many walls. Now I'm falling down, I'm falling on my knees. And the Salvation Army band is playing this hymn. And your grace rings out so deep, it makes my resistance seem so thin. So hold me, Jesus, 'cause I'm shaking like a leaf. You have been King of my glory. Won't you be my Prince of Peace? I'm singing, hold me, Jesus, 'cause I'm shaking like a leaf. You have been King of my glory. Won't you be my Prince of Peace? You have been King of my glory. Won't you be my Prince of Peace?
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how